Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, January 15th, 2018. I'm Lee Robertus in the news tonight. Idaho House Committee passes bill that would cut in half the Medicaid gap. Idaho Senator Foreman wants to try again to charge abortion doctors and pregnant women with murder and ban state money from any sanctuary city or municipality that may exist. Three Moscow nonprofits team up to supply wheelchair ramps, and Pullman 2040 program has 60 projects. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho House Health and Welfare Committee voted today to approve Governor Butch Otter's Idaho health care plan, which would cut the current health care coverage gap in half. About 78,000 Idahoans have been in the health coverage gap, also known as the Medicaid gap, which exists because the state's conservative legislature has failed to expand Medicaid under the Federal Affordable Care Act during the last 4 years. That means those who make less than the federal poverty rate don't qualify for subsidized insurance under the Affordable Care Act. That group includes the 78,000 who also make too much to qualify for Medicaid. The bill that passed the House committee today would allow 35,000 more low-income citizens to qualify for the federally subsidized health insurance and let another 2,500 to 3,500 people who have 12 specific high-cost medical conditions get Medicaid. Those conditions include some cancers, cystic fibrosis, and end-stage liver disease. The federal Medicaid payments for people who suffer from those diseases would offset the money it would cost to expand subsidized insurance to more people. The state will have to request a federal waiver to expand Medicaid only for a limited number of conditions. The Spokesman Review website reports State Insurance Director Dean Cameron told the House Health and Welfare Committee this morning, "This proposal will make a significant difference in thousands of Idahoans' lives. It will make a difference in those with severe health conditions to be able to find better coverage at lower cost. It will make a difference for Idaho families who don't qualify for assistance because their income isn't high enough." Three members of the committee, all Republicans, voted no. They were Brian Zollinger of Idaho Falls, Carrie Hanks of St. Anthony, and John Vanderwood of Nampa. Vanderwood said, "It sounds like a really good plan. I credit them for the options, but I think this bill is just too wide open. I think this authorizes any waiver, regardless of what it looks like when it gets there. I know we're going to have a discussion later, but I think this bill is a little too broad." Cameron told Vanderwood, "The more specific the list, the more difficult it will be to obtain a federal waiver." Committee Chair Fred Wood of Burley said he will hold an informational hearing in less than 2 weeks for the entire legislature to attend. Wood said a week later, the committee will hold a formal hearing and vote on the bill. Wood said, "We want all the opportunity in the world for this committee and the entire legislature to get all of their questions asked about exactly what this program is, how the program is going to operate, and what the cost of the program is, etc., etc., so we can make an informed decision." Right-wing state senator Dan Foreman of Viola says he will introduce two bills during this year's legislative session that would prohibit the state from giving any money to cities, colleges, and universities that do not cooperate with federal immigration police intent on deporting people. Another legislator introduced a bill that would prevent state sales tax dollars from going to sanctuary cities last year, but that did not make it out of committee. Foreman told the Lewiston Tribune, "I don't think we have a problem with sanctuary entities in Idaho yet. I'm just trying to head it off. However, constituents did request the Moscow City Council pass a sanctuary city ordinance last year to push back on racially selective immigration policies promoted by the Trump administration, but city officials instead passed a welcoming city declaration, citing fears of state or federal government backlash during a time when the Trump administration has been attacking immigrants. Foreman also said he will introduce a bill that would put a measure on the statewide ballot that would allow Idaho to prosecute women who have an abortion and doctors who perform them for murder. He introduced a similar bill last year that did not include the ballot initiative, but it did not get traction in the Senate. Foreman also plans to introduce a bill that would prohibit state colleges and universities from banning guns on campus. Currently, the schools are allowed to ban firearms from residence halls and facilities that hold more than 1,000 people. Recent previous state law has prohibited colleges and universities from prohibiting concealed weapons on other places on campus that don't fall into these categories, such as classrooms and academic buildings. The Washington Senate Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Water Committee Thursday approved a bill that would prohibit the state from renewing leases with fish farms that grow non-native fish in Washington waters. The leases expire between 2022 and 2024. The bill would also require state agencies to conduct extensive studies of the use of fish pens for fish farming in Washington waters that would be presented to the legislature in January 2021. Last summer, a net pen in the Puget Sound near Tacoma collapsed and tens of thousands of Atlantic salmon escaped into the water. The pen contained about 300,000 Atlantic salmon. Critics of fish farming say the non-native salmon could jeopardize the genetic integrity of native fish. The bill will go next to the Senate Ways and Means Committee, which is expected to determine the bill's impact on the state budget. The Ways and Means Committee can then vote to send the bill to the full Senate. The Spokane City Council has voted 6-1 to override Mayor David Condon's veto of an ordinance aimed at dark money in political campaigns. The law requires political action committees to reveal their top five donors and reduces the maximum amount a person or entity can give a political candidate by 50%, making it $500. The ordinance also prohibits firms that do more than $50,000 in business with the city in a year from giving to political campaigns for city offices. Councilmember Mike Fagan, who cast the lone no vote, said that limitation contrasts with the lack of any maximum donation amount by union bargaining units. The law still requires unions to disclose their donations. Fagan said the new law will put conservative candidates at a disadvantage against progressive candidates in city elections. The Pullman 2040 Steering Committee is looking for volunteers for three committees that will help with 60 projects the group has identified that could have what they call a tremendous impact on the community if completed by 2040. The three committees are implementation, marketing, and financing. The Pullman 2040 website lists project goals such as increasing art in public places, improving wayfinding signs for visitors, working toward a vibrant, livable, and walkable downtown, recruiting businesses to relocate their workforces to Pullman, developing the South Bypass Road around the city, improving broadband coverage and access, providing adequate food and housing security, supporting city efforts to develop a community and youth center for sports, expanding the city's trails and open spaces, and developing a Pullman to Colfax trail. Pullman 2040 Steering Committee co-chair Francis Benjamin said the committee would like to begin work on 22 of the projects right away. The Pullman 2040 Steering Committee plans to officially launch its community initiatives with a meeting Tuesday, February 13th at 5 p.m. at the Encounters Ministries campus on Southeast Crestview Street. The nonprofit Disabilities Action Center Northwest has teamed up with the faith-based Palouse Habitat for Humanity and the Moscow Lions Club to install modular metal ramps for homes of people with disabilities in the community. The ongoing project started with a grant from the Christopher and Dave Reeve Foundation to the Disability Action Center. Disability Action Center Northwest marketing specialist Vicky Leeper told the Daily News the group has installed 14 ramps recently, and there are 5 people on the waiting list. Leeper said the program turned out to be extremely successful. She said, "We got an initial grant of $17,000 plus what we bought the starting ramp parts with, and we've gone through all of those." Palouse Habitat for Humanity Construction Committee Chair Brent Bradbury said his group is providing labor and a storage facility for the project, and the Disability Action Center Northwest is providing grant writing expertise and helps procure materials. Bradbury said the Lions Club was a good fit for the project, too, because they have been building permanent wooden ramps at homes for a number of years. Leeper said the Disability Action Center is prohibited from seeking the same grant again during a certain time frame, so they are seeking local donations to continue with the project. Some ramps can cost as much as $100 a foot to build, but the prices fluctuate depending on whether the ramp is new or used. The Moscow City Council will meet Tuesday night this week due to the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday today. Normally, the City Council meets Monday nights. The Council will be asked to approve submission of a $272,500 local highway safety improvement grant request for Phase 2 of the State Highway 8 3rd Street Corridor Safety Improvement Project. City staff has studied citywide accident data and identified 3rd Street between Llewellyn and Lily Streets as the project corridor, in part because the majority of pedestrian facilities in the project area are hazardous due to deterioration and not compliant with current Americans with Disabilities Act standards. If the city does get the grant, crews will replace 430 square yards of deteriorated sidewalk and 400 linear feet of curb and gutter, including 4 Americans with Disabilities Act pedestrian curb ramps. The project would also include 8 new LED streetlights. The total cost of the project would be $305,000, with the city paying a 7.34% matching grant up to $22,500. The council will also be asked to approve a $426,000 task order agreement with JUB Engineers for design and construction and administration of the city's water booster station replacement project, Phase 2. The project will address water pressure limitations, improve pump efficiency and fire flow for the Indian Hills and Ponderosa pressure zones, upgrade electrical systems, provide emergency power at both booster stations, and improve maintenance access and safety. The project also includes approximately 3,000 linear feet of new water main. The Moscow City Council will meet at 7 p.m. Tuesday night at City Hall. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. Partly cloudy tonight, low 33, 90% chance of rain tomorrow, mainly between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m., high 42. Mostly cloudy Tuesday night, low 31, and mostly cloudy Wednesday, high 42. 90% chance of rain Wednesday night, mainly after 10 p.m., low 37, and 80% chance of rain on Thursday, high 42. And rain and snow predicted starting Thursday night and into the weekend. Currently 46 degrees at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP. Be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse, now broadcasting at 1100 watts and online.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and by the Environmental Defense Institute, actively engaged with issues involving the Idaho National Laboratory, a Department of Energy nuclear site. EDI advocates for environmentally sound nuclear policy decisions.